everybody, and welcome to the EC Method. I am one of your coaches, Chloe Madeley.
And I am your other coach, Emma Story Gordon. Our goal at the EC Method is to encourage, educate, and empower you to get the results that you've always wanted.
Listen to our weekly podcasts, go to our website, theecmethod.co.uk, or simply follow us on Instagram to get more information.
I get it all the time, and I need this like fungal cream, but
hey, your boobs look great.
I know.
I know. What can I say?
Are we live?
Yeah, we're live. So yeah.
Yeah. Hi guys. Welcome to Friday's live. You may have noticed that I'm in a onesie. I just would like to just clarify this by explaining that I have been up since 6. I've been working, but I've showered. I'm clean. I did not want to get dressed today, and that's okay.
You know what, guys? That is okay. I'm just turning off all of the notifications. Okay, right.
You should turn off your Bluetooth as well, because we know.
I've just turned off my Bluetooth and my notifications, so no sounds will come in.
Also, before we get going, this is the same cider glass I was drinking previously.
What's in it?
Squash, and it had loads of ice in it, but all the ice is melted, so now it just looks like murky water.
Yeah, it's very diluted.
Oh gosh, yeah. Oh no, I don't.
Oh yeah, squash. Gosh, yeah.
No, if somebody gives me strong squash, I'm like, absolutely not. It has to be like basically flavored water.
Drew, I bought some squash yesterday, and it had on it like 1 tablespoon, like dilute into one. And I was like, who the hell weighs out their squash with tablespoons? Okay. No one. Normally it's like one splash equals one glass of water. And it's like 1 tablespoon. Very specific.
Splash is a good word. I mean, I can't say it because it's too many S's, but it's a good word. Do you have any admin? Oh, I'm going to do some new workouts this weekend. You lucky lot. Emma, do you have any admin that you want to get through before we hit El Cuestiones?
No, don't think so.
Okay then.
Or maybe we could touch on, because there's been, I can just think off the top of my head, 2 posts in the last like probably 10 hours, maybe a bit more than that, since last night, where people, there is a difference between an excuse and a legitimate reason.
Yes,
we need to help you get over. And please don't think that if you're saying, so because there was some like really legitimate excuses, or not even not excuses, sorry, but like reasons for not doing something that like are not excuses. And don't feel like you have to be like, I know it sounds like I'm making loads of excuses. You're absolutely not. And the reason that you're not, like the difference there is that you're coming to us to try and find answers, to try and find ways around doing things. So yeah, that maybe that was just a point that, you know, and someone else had like fibromyalgia and was really struggling with pain. Like, that's not an excuse. Like, you're an absolute hero struggling with chronic pain. We will absolutely help you find a way to make something manageable that you can do, as opposed to it being like, nah, I just couldn't really be bothered to do it. Like, there's a big difference there.
I couldn't agree more. And, you know, this is something that coaching experience teaches you. I wrote a post on this, was it last Sunday? You know, there's a difference between I can't be bothered and I can't. And that doesn't necessarily mean that you have to be injured to be like, well, I can't go for a walk. There's a few reasons why you might be struggling. And, you know, Emma's completely right. You have to, sometimes we find that clients either don't really have a real reason and they are just looking for excuses, and they will kind of call on that. But actually, and ironically, more often than that, what we find is that clients have real reasons, real hurdles, and then they guilt themselves and shame themselves into feeling like pieces of shit, which doesn't change the shit situation they're in and only makes them feel worse and give up. Now, you know, both sides of the coin, whether it is, you know, a slightly dramatic outlook, which I definitely can't relate to in any way, or whether you are actually really up against something which is challenging for you, both sides of the coin would be to think it through. What can you do? And if on some days that's nothing, fine, fine. And if you're like, well, actually, you know, I really can't move because I've got, you know, serious fatigue or serious pain or whatever it might be, or even if you're just having a really bad period, fine, totally fine. What can you do? Can you nail your nutrition that day? And thinking of it like that. But yeah, it doesn't look, we've said this so many times before, and we'll keep saying it, the shame spiral doesn't work. It leads you nowhere but down. And, you know, let's just say best case scenario, we halt you where you are, but let's avoid going down.
Yeah. And I think when it comes to like having a break or looking after your body or like listening to your body, maybe you are struggling with chronic pain, maybe it's like before your period or something. The only thing that can make that worse is not doing the thing and then beating yourself up about not doing the thing. It's like suffering twice.
Yeah.
So if you are like consciously make a decision to have a break and then enjoy that break, because the break isn't the same if you're beating yourself up about having the break or having a rest. And it kind of related to this, actually, it's not even that related. I just thought this was, I read this yesterday and it kind of blew my mind a little bit. It's such a simple quote and I haven't really thought about it in this way before, but the quote is, on the other side of every fear is freedom. Do you think that's good?
I think it's brilliant. I think it's a really nice kind of follow up from there's nothing to fear but fear itself. Like a lot of the time, and I think a lot of people will be able to apply this to their actual like day-to-day lives or relationships or things that have happened to them in their lives. A lot of the time the build-up and the fear of this thing happening actually far outweighs the weight of it happening once it's there, once it's in front of you, once you basically have no fucking choice but to deal with it and you can't kind of hypothesize over it anymore. And you know, my dad always taught me this, and my dad doesn't think like me, unfortunately. I didn't inherit his thinking, but you know, go straight to the worst case scenario. It's actually never as bad as you think it's going to be. Like, isn't it? What would you do if it actually happened right now? You'd be like, first of all, I'd have to accept it because it's here, and second of all, like, I'd have to manage it. Like, I'd have to find my way out of the issue. And you know, to think like that is good. And I love your quote that you just quoted, Emma, because it is, as soon as you kind of embrace that and accept that, and also in life we have no control anyway, it's all an illusion, you will feel a lot more free and capable.
I think that's a big one, like accepting that actually you have no control anyway. And but I'd never thought of like, at the other side of every fear is your freedom. And then you almost, then you think of like what every fear that you have is usually based around lack of control.
Yeah.
So the way that you can kind of get past that a little bit at least is to take some kind of action. Like what, basically like what you can do, what can you do, action it, and what you can't do, like there's nothing you can do about anyway. So you need to accept that.
Yeah.
That will just be.
Yeah. We've talked about this before about religion. I mean, I think I speak for both Emma and I when I say we're not religious people. But
we're always quoting the Bible.
We love the Bible. But I won't lie. I'm incredibly jealous of people who have that faith. And one of the things that, you know, people of faith frequently say is like, the deal is that I do 50% of the work and God does the other 50% of the work. And that's, I just love that approach to life, which is like, I will do everything I can to be the best person I can, to have the best life I can. I suppose in this context, you know, to help as many people as I can, whatever. But then there's another side of it that has nothing to do with me, that I can't control that. And there's so many things like that, which like really spiritual, you know, faithful people say, and I'm like, damn, that's good. Like, and you know, I can't apply it to me personally, but.
I think you can. I think you can choose. It's basically the same as saying like, you know, there's the things that I can do, and whether that's 50% or whatever, like there's, maybe it's 50% of like what I can actually action. And then the rest, you know, I leave up to fate or God or like the fact that everything happens by chance and there's nothing you can do to control that. I think it's maybe distinguishing between what you can control and what you can't control. And I think, the only time, and we talk about this a lot, like what's for you won't go by you. Like that's a really useful saying when it's like, yeah, you've done all of your work. And you know what? If someone turns up at the job interview and they've got more experience than you do and they nailed the interview, there's nothing you can do about that. But if you read that as, yeah, so I'll just do the bare minimum and just hope that like by chance something falls on my lap, like that's probably not going to have the same impact.
There's a bodybuilding quote, funnily enough, which I also think is really applicable to life, which I also love. which is that, so I'll say in the bodybuilding context first, which is bodybuilding's not a defensive sport, it's an offensive sport, which essentially means all you can do is all you can do. Once you get there, you can't do anything to defend yourself against what everybody else is bringing to the table. And I really like this approach to life as well, of being like, this is an offensive sport. Like, I'm on the offense. Like, I can do everything I can do to power myself forward. But if, as Emma said, some person goes to a job interview and is better than me, there's no defense. There's nothing I can do. And I think that's brilliant too. We should do a book of quotes that me and you have found to be really helpful in life.
I love quotes.
Me too. Dr. Mike quoted something to me this morning, which was like, he was like, it's too much for Instagram. I was like, it's not, put it up.
What was it?
Let's see, if I don't know if I still have it. I've got a weird thing about like deleting messages. Like, I like clear everything out.
What? That is really weird.
It's a really weird thing. And then I go to read people's stuff and I'm like, oh, I deleted it. And they're like, why? I'm like, I don't know. Really don't know. Yeah, I definitely deleted it. Okay.
Yeah, that's like every time you're like, oh, what's the password for this? And I just reply to the message where I sent you the password last time. And you're like, oh my God, that's so clever. Yeah, because you delete all our conversations. Yeah, that's why.
No, our conversations by accident, because there's a lot of information I need in our WhatsApp chats. And then every now and again, like, especially when I was drunk, I would be like, accidentally swipe delete it and be like, oh shit, I'm going to regret that in the morning. Wake up, be like, where's all the passwords?
Okay. Anyway, Tajal has a question.
Okay.
Hi, lovely ladies. On the last few lives, you've mentioned that this is the last quote unquote diet you will do. So I've got myself caught on this cycle whereby I lose fat, get comfortable, go into maintenance for a few months, do really well until I go on holiday/event/Christmas, put on a few pounds, no more than 5 pounds, and then have to come back to the fat loss or to another few months. And then the cycle continues. Is this okay? Or how do I better handle those events? I actually think that's fine. I actually kind of think that's life. Like, 5 pounds isn't a lot of weight. And you can, this is more to do with the way you're framing it. So you're framing it as, then I have to go back into fat loss, instead of, then I have to tweak my diet just slightly because I've been eating a little bit more than I was previously and I want to lose a little bit of weight. And this is what Chloe and I mean when we talk about maintenance. It's not staying the exact same body composition the whole year and staying within like 1 kilogram of your weight target or anything like that. It's having the flexibility that you're not, you know, yo-yo dieting and jumping on another diet and then going completely off track, but also realizing that you have a life and your body fat levels will probably change throughout the year or throughout different phases of your life. And that's totally normal, but now you know what to do. And now you know that you can just make little adjustments for a couple of weeks that will get you back on track. So the difference isn't then dieting. It's just literally iterating on what you're doing already, maybe changing a couple of meals. That's all you would need to do.
Yeah, I agree with Emma. I feel like there's, I was going to say, you know, ultimately I agree with Emma, so I'll start with that. But ultimately there's two kind of ways of looking at this. There's, you know, well, one, the first thing that we're trying to get rid of for everybody is this all or nothing mentality. So again, that can be looked at in two ways. One, you go on holiday, but after like, you know, 2-3 days of really relaxing, maybe being off your feet, maybe not training, after 2-3 days being like, okay, now I'm going to go to the hotel gym, or I'm going to go run along the beach or swim out to that rock over there. You know, I'm going to start moving and get active again. Like, I've had a little bit of my initial holiday rest and off we go. And also the same can be applied to, you know, not tracking or anything that specified, but being like, okay, I've had 2 days. I'm like, oh my God, I'm on holiday. I've like drank, I've eaten, but I still actually have a body that I want to take care of. So for the next couple of days, I'm going to rein it in. And in a way, you know, whether or not you gain a couple pounds of holiday or whatever, you know, it would neither really be here or there, because you're just continuing what you've always done. Now, if you're saying that, you know, you go on holiday and you're like, fuck it, you don't hit steps, you don't work out, you eat whatever you want, and 10 days later you come back and you're like, oh, I feel like crap, that would probably suggest that we need to do a bit more work on the former. But again, I actually do really agree with Emma, you know, so fucking what? You go on holiday. Like we always say, life is transitory, life is in flux, and therefore so will your body be. You don't want to be lying on your deathbed at the end of your life thinking, I managed to maintain 65 kgs for the last 25 years of my life. When? Fuck that. You want to be lying on your bed thinking, I went here, I did this, I experienced that. You know, you want to know that you had a rich and full life, and you're not going to have that if you're obsessed with staying a certain body weight. So there's lots of different ways to look at it and talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agreed. Okay. Have you got questions?
Oh, I've got an annoying hair. I can tell you that for free. I need to go to the hairdresser. I have questions. Let me just shove my hair out of my face and then
we'll... I think my hair needs to be done as well.
You're about to go, aren't you? So
yeah, so it's not going to be done. Maybe I could get Spanish hairdresser.
Well, first of all, Mexicans aren't Spaniards, so I mean, I would bear that in
mind. Yeah, but I mean, like, speak Spanish, right? So it would just be quite hard for me to describe. Well, probably wouldn't. What, blonde hair? Thanks.
What is? I do know what blonde is in Spanish. I can't remember. Somebody tell us. Okay, so.
Hi, Chloe. Not me, just you. Oh no, wait. Okay, it's relevant to you. How do you think that your views and approach to exercise and diet have changed since your days with Fitness Fondue? I mean, this is a big question.
Oh my God. I mean,
in one sentence.
I mean, entirely.
Okay.
Entirely. Like, I've been fully qualified and training and everything now for 9 years. So what I do now and what I know now and my approach now, and not just me, I would say the whole health and fitness community, is markedly different from the space we were in a decade ago. It's a lot more now about big picture consistency, and a lot less about I have a photo shoot in 12 weeks, I need to look like X. You know, and it's just a whole other thing. It's a whole other, and also, you know, not only has the way that the industry approached training and diet and everything completely changed, myself included, but I've grown up. I'm not 25 anymore. Like, I'm 33. That's a guess. I really don't know. I think I'm 33. I might be 34. I'm not sure. I'm somewhere in that region. And I just am not the same as I was when I was 25. I don't care about posing in my underwear and putting it on Instagram. And it's not because I feel like I'm not, quote unquote, in shape. It's just because I don't care anymore.
Yeah, there's more important stuff. Yeah, I think as you grow, and obviously as you learn, and what's really interesting is there's this effect called, I think it's called the history bias, where you're like, you know, looking back on your last 5 years, you're like, I grew so much in the last 5 years, but now I'm kind of a rounded person now. Like, I'm pretty much the finished product, and I don't think I'll change that much in the next 5 years. We always underestimate. So I have no doubt. And I mean, like, I'm excited about it, but I have no doubt in 5 years' time, we'll be like
completely different.
Completely different, yeah.
100%. This is why Emma knows I've had this rant to her on WhatsApp so many times. Like, to be like, I don't like this whole movement on Instagram. We know it's not I don't like, that's wrong. I do actually like it. I feel a little bit nervous for, I really want to make sure I say this right. I feel a little bit nervous for the really hot new movement of I'll never go back to looking like that or trying to do that ever again. Because you'll notice that when I talk about like how difficult that was for me at periods in my health and fitness career, when I started doing the fitness modeling and I started kind of making a name for myself in the industry, when I talk about how difficult that was for me sometimes and how hard that was on my body and my body image, you'll see that I always say, I'm not saying I will never try and do something like that again, because I don't want to box myself into like, just because I don't want to do it right now, who knows, in 5 years time, I might be like, fuck it, like I'm in it. Like, you know, I don't think there's anything wrong with having a physique goal. And I think that there are some people in our industry now who are bang into health and fitness, who fucking love the physique goal, who maybe just went a bit too far, a bit too often and need a breather. But I look at them and I'm like, I reckon, and I don't actually reckon, I know for a fact, that there are going to be times in your present, if not future life, where you're like, I kind of want to do it again. And you can't now because you've told everyone how fucking awful it was. Yeah.
But that's the thing, is like, you can do it with a positive mindset and a positive outlook, exactly. And you can do it in the right ways, and it doesn't have to be damaging. The problem is the vast majority of people don't do it that way. Exactly. And then you hear all these horror stories, and then you build a following on these stories because other people relate to them. Like, oh my God, the same thing happened to me when I dropped my calories. It's like, yeah, because you all did stupid diets that were over restrictive. And like, sometimes I have, especially for personal trainers, not so much for clients, but for personal trainers, like not really that much sympathy for them. Cause I'm like, you should have known better. You're like, oh my God, then my coach told me this. I'm like, why the fuck didn't you say, don't you think that's a stupid idea to be taking Clen? Like, why would you not question this stuff? Like a lot of the like really extreme, especially bodybuilders who are coming out now and being like, this is what my coach told me to do. And like, I'm a victim because then I just did it. I'm like, you're a fully qualified personal trainer with a degree. Like,
yeah.
Have like, take some responsibility for yourself. And if, you know, and I say that to everyone who's listening and all of our clients, if we ever suggest something, this is why we spend literally hours a week doing Q&As. If we ever suggest something and you're like, not quite sure about that, I'd like to know why. We will spend hours explaining why. That's how you should be like working with your coach. Like, why should I be taking this? Maybe I'll do a little bit of extra research onto how that's going to affect me long term. Or is it worrying that I've not had my period for months? Like, yes, it is. And your coach should be worried about that as well. But you need to take a little bit of like self
responsibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. Don't get me wrong. I do think like to look back in hindsight and be like, I was a victim at that time. I was steered down the wrong path and did it. But now that you've learned, and like Emma's saying, if you're qualified and you know what you're talking about, which a lot of these people should, and we follow them, they're professionals. It's like, oh, but by the way, I could do that now. It just might take me a little bit longer because I would want to have more food freedom and da da da. But you know, give or take a couple months, I could do it again. And I could do it properly. But they don't say that. And the fact that they don't say that, and again, Emma and I were talking about this over WhatsApp yesterday, the fact they don't go to that next bit and they just stop it, it's awful. It's like, well, you're clearly just trying to give yourself like a line in the sand and a flag on Instagram. And then it's like, I don't know. I do feel sorry for them. Because also you have to understand that to go into this kind of industry anyway, we are of a type. You know, you don't want to be told that you can't do something, least of all by yourself.
Yeah, I think a lot of people who have tied their flag now to like the anti-diet movement really struggle internally, especially when they put on weight and want to diet. And it's like you have to portray one thing on social media, but there's a completely different story going on behind the scenes. And even things like, oh, look, I'm bigger than I ever have been, but I'm totally fine with that. Knowing that that is a complete, like, that is an outright lie. And whether you're, I know that a lot of the time it's like, well, if I tell myself this on social media, it's kind of helpful to them, as in like fake it till you make it, almost like keep sort of retelling yourself that you're fine with it. But I think it's very misleading. Like,
I think it's unbelievably misleading. And the fact that these clients who are literally hanging all of their self-worth now on this one person who's throwing this out there, not knowing what this person's actually going through behind the scenes, it's not fair. And what was the other thing that we were talking about that was really interesting? I'm sure it'll come to me, but
it's unrealistic expectations as well, which we see a lot, because clients will be like, oh, it's funny, like I do still feel a little bit uncomfortable in my skin even though I knew I needed to put on weight, like I must still be doing something wrong. And it's like, no, that's totally normal. And actually somewhat inevitable for some people. And do you know what? You might feel uncomfortable for a period of time, and that's totally fine. And that doesn't mean you're doing anything wrong. And that doesn't mean anything really, just that change can be uncomfortable.
Yeah, exactly.
And they'll be like, oh, but it seems like so-and-so just feels so happy in their own skin. It's like, yeah, anyone can look happy on Instagram.
Yeah, exactly. God, I mean, Jesus, like, but you know what, it doesn't matter. But I would say is that like all of us, both the clients and the coaches and the PTs, we're all on our own journey and we're all learning as we go. Now of course Emma and I are, you know, qualified and professional and experienced in this area, but it doesn't make a difference really. Take that away from it, take timeline away from it, we're all progressing, we're all learning, we're all growing all the time. And to box yourself in is for anyone, any of you in any area of your life, I won't go down that road. I was about to go down the crudité road, but to box yourself in, like, oh no, you know, you're just you're really stamping on your own foot. And like I say, I do, yeah, these are people in our industry, we are of a fucking type. And it, you look at it, you look at how they've cut themselves off from something in an industry they work in, and you're like, I bet you either regret it now or you're going to regret it. Just say, I did it wrong. If I do it again, I'm still healing. Like, this is what basically what I say. I did it wrong at points. I'm still kind of, although now I'm fine, but, you know, I'm still kind of, if there was a period, you know, a couple of years ago, I'm still kind of, I'm trying to figure my, like, let myself cool down a bit, but I'm never gonna say I'll never do it again properly. Like, no, don't do that.
The other thing is, I don't think it matters from the way that we do social media. Like, if you're not, if your whole content isn't based around what you do, which it's not, it's 90% based around helping clients and realizing that they all have different goals and they all have different relationships with food and they all have different ways that they should approach things. And it's based in evidence as opposed to just, this is what I do, this is what everyone else should do, or I've gone vegan, so all of my followers should go vegan. Like, I don't mind changing my mind about anything because it's not like tied to anything. And I'm also not being like, this is how I train, so this is how all my clients should train. And then as soon as I realized that kettlebells aren't the best thing in the world, oh my God, what am I going to do? Fate that I still do kettlebells, even though no one else does. Like, you only trap yourself. Basically, I think this is more of a problem for like an influencer. Yeah. As it, like, for a coach, it doesn't really matter what you're doing as a coach. Like, it doesn't matter to anyone on the EC method how I train, because actually, and this is a good example, like, I can't do any lower body at the moment. Like, you're not training how I train, you're training how maybe I would like to train, but it's totally irrelevant. Or like, you're you might not be dieting the same as I am because I'm living a different life. Like,
yeah
I think that becomes the problem when you're following our based around like what you do.
You know what I just realized in having this conversation, this is happening to me a lot at the moment, is that I've been a bit of a hypocrite in that somebody recently in our industry went from being like quite obviously like anti-diet, anti it shouldn't be how you look, anti, to all of a sudden turning around and being like, I'm not anti-diet. And I was like, that's not true, or at least that hasn't been true for the last few months. So that's weird. This is a new turn of events. And actually, now I'm thinking about it, you know, the fact that you give yourself, the fact that this person gave themselves room to change their kind of stance on something quite, you know, quite outrightly and say, I am not this thing, even though maybe, you know, I don't know how much awareness is there, but I'm like, you know what, that is actually a really positive thing. And that's not a bad thing to, you know, to box yourself in when you know better at that point, which is what we were saying before, is probably, well, is definitely a lot worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay, right, back onto the questions. Hi girls, any advice on what to eat on a 9-hour flight? This is usually when I'd get excited about going on holiday and eat and drink whatever I can get my hands on.
Plain food.
I think the only reason I like it is because I'm so painfully bored. Like, a 9-hour flight, so it's the same as mine, right? What else are you gonna do? Like, all you have to look forward to is like the crappy meal that they bring.
So what I do is I typically will stop at prep in the airport. Well, first of all, I get to the airport and I have a meal before I board the plane. And then it's my same old, like I eat every three.
And then it's my same old, like I fly business class. So basically.
What is this weird thing that's happening at the moment? First of all, I don't. And second of all, it's like, it's the same old, I eat at the airport. I go buy food so I can eat every 3-4 hours if it's a long haul flight. And I eat, like, if I'm awake, if I'm not asleep, and I eat, and that's it. Like, it's, and I don't just get, you know, it's like, but then also I will say this, I don't like plain food. So it's like, as soon as they come around, they're like, what are you? I'm like, no, no.
Yeah. I mean, do that and eat the same as what you normally eat, or like eat the plain food. The portions are freaking tiny. Like, you won't overeat on the plane. Basically, they'll bring you like on a 9-hour flight, what they're going to bring you, like probably 2 meals. I highly doubt either of those meals are going to be more than like 500-600 calories. If you're worried about it, like leave the bread and cheese or something, like if you want to cut down on calories a little bit. But I really wouldn't worry about that. Like, it's almost hard to overeat on a plane unless you want to buy extra food and stuff, which probably on a long haul is, if you're not in business class or something, quite hard to do.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, just choose what you're going to do. Either way, I really don't think it's going to be a problem.
Agreed.
Okay, Samantha, good morning, ladies. Can't tell you how pleased I am to have found you guys. Funny listening back to your various podcasts about habits. Normally, I would stick to something for like 2 weeks and then it goes straight into the fuck it bucket. Now I feel empowered to make long-term changes. I started walking the dogs in the morning to hit my steps and they've already got into the routine and moan at me if I don't get them out. Oh, that's great. Habits for the whole family. No questions. Just a big thank you. Oh, yeah. That's excellent, Samantha.
I love that. And this really is the benefit of having a dog, is that you genuinely have a good reason to get your steps in every day.
And you have to, like, yeah. You've kind of got the option of, well, one, it's, I would say it's like abusive not to take your dog out, but yeah. Two, like shit all over your house or take your dog out. Yeah. Like, what, there's your options. Dawn saying, I remember questioning a PT and I was answered with, and which one of us is qualified? And that is just a massive red flag of basically saying, I don't know how to explain the question you're asking me. Either I don't know or I'm too lazy. And so neither of those are acceptable.
You know, although I will say that once I went to the doctor and I was like, I have a chest infection. And he looked at me and he said, no, you have a sinus infection. I was like, no, I have a chest infection. He was like, no, I'm your doctor. And I was like, okay, fine.
Yeah, okay.
If you ask somebody a question and they hit you back with an answer like that, what they're really marking is, I don't know why. This is just what I know to tell you to do.
Yeah. Okay, Catherine. Hey, Emma and Chloe, I've had an amazing break in the Lake District, traveling home today. Not got started with this round yet, so tomorrow is day one for me. I've walked and walked and not tracked and enjoyed a week away with my husband. Now very keen to get going again for round two. Feel so excited because I know it's going to work. I lost 9 pounds last time. So here's to the next 9. Wow. Thanks for helping me change my mindset around dieting. That's incredible. And very glad that you had such a lovely time in the Lake District.
I'm very jealous. What a place to go.
I know. Ollie's just saying hi. Hi, Ollie. Okay, morning queens. Question about home weighted workouts. It takes me an age to get to failure with the lower body in the AMRAP sessions. I know I need heavier weights, but can't right now. Any tips to get me to failure quicker? I have 5 kilogram dumbbells, 12 kilograms and 16 and 20 kilogram kettlebells and resistance bands. Thanks.
There's a list of tips on how to hit failure with lower body and crappy weights at home in the details tab at the top of the workout. They include things like pulses. So for example, that would be getting to the eccentric part of the lift and performing tiny little reps. So for in a squat, for example, right down in the bottom of the squat, doing tiny little squats, that should do the trick. If you have things like the weights that you list and resistance bands, you can double up on resistance. You can do the weighted exercises with some resistance bands and that might help. I also talk about in the notes, time under tension. I also talk about making certain lifts slightly more dynamic. So for example, if it's a goblet squat, turning it into like a goblet squat jump, things like that. So make sure you read the details tab.
Agreed. Okay, Kelly. Hey, both, really enjoying the workouts and tracking my nutrition. I've joined a new gym and they don't have a leg press machine. It's coming in a few weeks. What can I use instead? So anything that does the same movement. So it's essentially a squat kind of movement. So you could do squats or like a variation of a squat, because squats are still are already in your program. Again, like, don't worry about doubling up on movements, maybe not in the same session, but generally, like, I did squats on Monday, I don't want to do them again on Wednesday. No, they're really good movement. And actually a leg press is very similar to a squat. It's just, yeah, slightly different. So you're working the same muscles. So just think about anything that works the same muscles. There's also a swap function on the app, so that should offer you options, but anything that's kind of squat based is a good idea. Someone's saying, I hate plain food too, but I'm the person who falls asleep before the flight takes off and then wakes up 7 hours later. That's a dream.
Yeah, I know, that is a dream. Capitalize on that.
Yeah, I might. Yeah, some people take sleeping pills, don't they?
Yeah, I wouldn't do that. I'm not anti-sleeping pills at all. Like, you know, if you're not sleeping and you're hitting, you know, day three or four, I'm all for Nytol one a night, but I would not fucking take one on a plane. Isn't there things on planes with sleepers and alcohol being mixed and people going fucking batshit? I'm like,
that's there was a huge fight on the plane on the way out.
Yeah, you said, you didn't say it was on your stories or something, because you and Amelia were posting about it. What was it, a couple were fighting? Was it a couple or was that a different one?
Yeah, it was a couple, but they were like screaming over the plane. She was like, good luck getting into Mexico without your passport. I was like, whoa. Yeah. And she was crying, and all like the air hostesses and like all the air hosts, I guess. Was that the male version? Anyway, they were all like
cabin crew.
Yes, the cabin crew were all like trying to comfort her and like move people so that they could sit separately. So it was absolutely ridiculous.
What had he done? Did you know?
No idea. He just sat there kind of grumpy, just like, she's mental. It's like, yeah, but you've chosen to go on holiday with that. Like,
you made that mental. Like, he obviously did something. I hate it when guys say that. My ex is mental. I'm like, red flag, you're a dick.
Yeah. Carrie's saying business class serve crudités. Am I right?
crudité, guys. Crudité and champagne.
Okay, Sally. I'm the perimeno. Quite like that. Sorry, I'm in the perimeno crew. Great. I'm the perimeno one who moans a lot about blobbiness. I've had a really good and really consistent week. I've hit all my non-negotiables so far. Average over 100 grams of protein, average over 10,000 steps. Done 4 workouts, 1 rest day. I'm on 1800 calories and I'm currently 77 kilograms. I used to be consistently between 66 and 69 and I put on 2 pounds overnight. Yes, I know it can't be fat, but this week my weight is just steadily increasing again. Is it time to drop calories? I'm on HRT and trusting the process. Won't dive into the bucket, but I'm feeling really low this morning. What should I do?
Emma, I'll let you take this one because I've had a lot of talks with a lot of clients this morning about the scales and I'm done. It's done.
I'm fucking done. This is totally normal. This seems to have come up a lot this week. And I don't know how many times we can just say like the scales mean nothing within a week. Like a couple of people have been like, oh, I've been like, here's a prime example, right? You started your diet when the EC method started just, I guess almost 2 weeks ago, but let's say that also that week, you know, you've increased food volume. It's also the week that you're heaviest due to your period. Like you can quite easily have put on weight but be losing body fat is my point. We're not going to change anything until you've been consistent for at least 2 weeks, and judging by all your stats and you're doing incredibly well, you're doing absolutely everything right, you don't need to change anything. And what often happens at this point is people stress and they're like, oh my god, I've not lost weight yet. Like I've not been fully consistent for 2 weeks, but I've not lost weight yet. I'm just going to drop my calories. And it kind of leaves you nowhere to go. And if you're struggling a little bit with adherence anyway, then it's just the worst thing that you could possibly do. Basically, be more patient, keep being consistent. Don't change a thing. If we need to drop your calories, we will, but we're not going to preempt that and we're not going to do it too quickly.
Yeah, I agree. Nothing to add.
Okay. Hi, happy Friday. I'm going skiing for 5 days at the end of January and I'm a bit nervous about not being able to track food and drink. Any tips to stay on track while away? I know it's a really active, but there is a gym there. Should I try to do some upper body workouts if I have time?
No, I wouldn't do any workouts if you're on an active holiday at all. And if you can't track or whatever while you're there, just be very mindful about your food choices. Just, you know, we talk about protein, fats, carbohydrates, calories, expenditure all the time. Be very mindful about what you're eating. And if you're on a super active holiday, you're not going to gain any weight. You know,
it's going to happen. Yeah. It's also 5 days. Go and enjoy yourself. Chill out. I'm not seeing the notes you talked about in the details tab. This is all I can see on the app and the website. Can you point me in the direction? If you just do a post and screenshot what you can see, we can show you, or one of the grads will probably show you before we get there.
I can easily, I'm adding workouts this weekend, so I can easily have a look at all the details tabs that are already up there, but there should be like a list of tips to help you hit failure. If there's not, I don't know where it's gone, but I'll find it.
Okay. Hi from New York. Woken up at 6 to have a listen. 31,000 steps yesterday and wow. Still tracking my protein. Phenomenal.
What you get in New York.
Yeah.
Walk everywhere.
London, similar, I think.
I disagree. It's not, New York's on a grid system, so everything's easy and you can always just cut across the park to get where you need to go. Whereas in London, it's like, if I had to go from Soho to Hackney, I think I'd jump in front of a bus.
I just think I don't really like the tube that much, so I'll just walk a lot of it.
No, yeah. I avoid the tube at all costs, especially since COVID hit. A hotbed. I avoid it in the summer because it is just like, you just get like trapped against someone's armpit and it's like, ugh.
Do you know what I've always been impressed with on the tube in the summer? It's like men wearing full suits.
Yeah.
Don't look like they're even sweating, and I'll be there like in shorts and t-shirt being like absolutely dying.
Where did you grow up, Emma? I was trying to remember this yesterday.
Oxford.
Oxford, yeah. That's it. I was like, you're not from Scotland. Where are you from? And it was driving me fucking nuts. Okay, let's go back to the...
Okay, we've got one from Tracy here. Hello, Emma and Chloe. Arrived home from holiday, and even though I had a nice time, I've come back feeling not too good in myself. I've gained a little, but now do I stay on 1600 calories or drop a bit? I was mindful with food whilst away and did workouts, etc. Was surprised I did gain. Honestly, it's almost definitely not fat if you've been pretty mindful while you've been away. Just get straight back on track. I wouldn't, if you'd asked us before, I probably would have said get back on track for a week before you weigh yourself if it's going to put you off. 100%. But go back to 1600 calories for a week. If you're still worried in a week, come back and talk to us and we can make some changes, but you won't need to by then.
Yeah, going forward, guys, any of you who are going holiday and on coming back like mid-plan or while you're being coached by Emma and I, 100% what Emma said, this has been a coaching pointer of mine for years and years and years. Don't weigh in until you've had a clear run of a week back from your holiday. And same as well, like if you're seeing the scales trend up, it's, you know, over the course of a week, is when they're going up and up and up. Oh shit, I really hope my laptop doesn't just shut down to do something.
is it like needs to update?
I don't know, that it doesn't even say what it is. It's just like a yellow bar that's moving across my screen. I'm like, but if you, again, if you're seeing it trend up as in like day after day, it's quite significantly climbing, like a pound here or a kilogram there, you're hormonal. Just stop, give it a week and then come back to it. Don't forget there is a week, you know, maybe even a week and a half of every month where the scales are not, we don't need that data at all. So.
Okay. Newbie here from Texas. Not been doing lives, but woke up this morning, so decided to jump on. I'm 6 hours behind you guys, under the covers at the moment, so I don't wake hubby up. Oh, that's cute. And also great news, because I'm going to Mexico, which means we're going to move the lives.
Oh yeah,
so they're probably going to be bang on your time zone now.
I love it. Well, one of Emma's pointers for the next issue was like more regular lives. She's like, I'm going back to Mexico.
Yeah.
I'm like, bye bitch.
Just want to say hi and thank you both. Love this. So far you guys are brilliant. So glad I've joined and this group's amazing. We are so happy to have you, Claire.
I love it. I love a bit of Texan.
Yeah.
Are you actually like from Texas or you're living in Texas?
Do you know what I find a little bit like, I don't, not to put a downer on you, Claire, but sometimes I think it's almost a little bit of an anticlimax when someone's like, oh yeah, I'm from the UK, but I just live in Texas now. And I'm like, we want some like purebred Texans.
Yeah, seriously. I need some.
I mean, we still love you, no matter where you're from, of course.
Cowboy.
Okay, question from Harry. Sorry for jumping on late again because of work. Oh, gosh, work. Is there an optimal order to do the gym workouts in? And if I'm hitting failure halfway through the last set, should I drop the weight? If you're halfway through the last set hitting failure, that's probably quite a good weight if you've managed the first two reps, first two sets at that weight. And no, not necessarily for the workouts. I would just split them. So you may be doing like legs and then push and then a rest day and then pull and then full body or something. But it doesn't hugely matter. As long as you get them in and you're breaking them up for the rest day, that's fine.
in your house, is there someone there?
No, why?
You can hear stuff. And I never normally can. Like, it sounds like someone's moving something around.
Oh, no, I don't know what that is.
Oh, no. Okay. Hi, guys. Post-workout, I like to do 10 minutes of cardio. Emma, I know that you used to row. Would you suggest this as the optimal energy expenditure option? Did you row for Oxford? Tell me.
No.
Okay. So you grew up at, where did you row?
At Edinburgh, at uni.
There we go. Right.
Yeah. I wouldn't recommend, we spoke about this on the last one, I think. Unless you're a rower, I actually probably wouldn't recommend using the rowing machine. Unless you've been really taught how to do it. And I don't even just mean taught by a PT. I say that because when I started rowing and like was already a personal trainer and my flatmate was head of the like captain of the rowing team, that's why I started. So I was like, oh, it looks quite fun. Anyway, he was like, oh, you'll need to learn how to use the erg. And I was like, I already know how to use the rowing machine. And I did not know how to use a rowing machine. And I have never seen anyone use it properly who isn't already a rower. So I probably wouldn't use that. And you could do any cardio that you want to do, really.
Why do all rugby boys love to row and all rowers love to play rugby? What is that?
It's like this. I don't know if it's just the benefit of being like a big person for both sports. I think it's a
cross-section of high society. Do you row?
To play rugby? I mean, rowing's even higher. Like, I don't think there was anyone who had rowed before uni that wasn't at a private school.
Oh, fuck no.
Who else has, like, the money to buy a boat and stuff? There are sports that have, like, obviously similar, like, physical demands. Like, I'm sure there's a couple of women who have, like, gone to the Olympics for cycling and rowing.
Yeah. It's the same with like the winter sport. Louise Hazel switched her.
Yeah, bobsleigh.
Yeah. Oh, that was fun. Okay, right, let's do this. Abigail Dunn. Hi, this is my first round. I just want to check my step score. In ECM intro video, it says to count for 10K steps a day. It's 70K a week, guys. Remember, it's a weekly. But on one of the docs, it says 12. Which one is correct? If you've got a fat loss goal, I would start with 10. And if you find that you're hitting 11, aim for 12. If you find that you're struggling, keep aiming for 10. And let's slowly, slowly, slowly try and build you up. Emma, you like them to just go straight in and aim for 12, right? Or is that wrong?
Yes and no. If you can do 12,000 steps, great. That's going to be a really decent whack of energy expenditure. Sometimes I just set that because so many people have this 10,000 stuck in their head and I'm like, why not be like 20% better than average? But then that's just my weird mindset. But equally, if you're someone who's like, okay, when I started this, my step count was 3,000 steps and I've managed to get up to 5,000 steps. That is phenomenal. And yeah. I don't think that we don't talk about enough the benefit of going from being very sedentary to mildly active in terms of your health is phenomenal. Yeah. The benefit of going from 10,000 steps to 12,000 steps is marginal at best. So if you're going from like that 2,000 steps, if that's taking you from 3,000 to 5,000, that impact on your health and well-being will be massive.
Yeah.
Going from 10,000 to 12,000, meh. Like, sure, you're going to expend a bit more energy, might help a bit with fat loss, but is going to make very little difference. So I just like to emphasize that because if you're someone who's like, I'm really struggling to hit my steps, like they're more important the less you're doing. Like if you're starting from being very sedentary, you're getting a huge benefit from increasing.
Yeah.
So don't feel like, oh, I'm failing if I'm not hitting 10,000. It certainly isn't like if I'm not hitting 10,000, I may as well just stay at 3. No, actually like getting up to 5,000 is so, so, so important. More important than going from like 9 to 10,000 or something.
Completely agree. Anything on the live?
Claire's saying that I did hear that you're going back to Mexico. Wahey. No, sorry, I'm from Scotland. Moved here in November. Lived here seven years ago for 2 years, and now back again. Huh. I want to know why. Like, did you fall in love with a Texan, or did you just think Texas is for me? Like, I've never been, but I just imagine it's quite a a vibe, quite a place, like quite a distinctive taste, I would imagine. Big.
Whereabouts in Texas are big? Whereabouts in Texas are you? I think there's certain areas of Texas I would love to live in there's certain areas of Texas I would. I mean, it is big.
Austin is like apparently this really big hub for podcasting.
Yeah.
Like all of the big podcasters live there.
I'm trying to, I think, yeah, I have nothing to add.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
You should see Bertie right now. He's such an idiot. Claire Lomas, in need of some advice for either home workouts, I have dumbbells. How do we mix them up and create routines? Cardio and upper and lower, or upper one day, lower the next, et cetera, et cetera. Thank you so much. I just want you guys to train your body evenly. So if you do an upper body workout, the next workout you do, do a lower body workout. Next workout you do, do a core workout. And then if you've got another couple, left in the tank, pick one of the last three, just cycle them. As long as you train your body evenly, there's no preferred order in which to do them. Joe Coley, hi ladies, quick question. Okay, some of these are about the workouts. Just half wonder if you shouldn't maybe tag me in those ones. Someone's asking, because AMRAP to failure, am I interpreting it correctly? Is this just one set of each exercise followed by Joe, tag me, because I need to know exactly which workout you're talking about and I can help you. Melody, hi, I'm a newbie. I've lost a lot of weight this year and I'm hoping to maintain and improve my body composition. I'm just wondering how the workouts work. Is there a calendar, or do we just pick ones at random depending on the equipment?
Should we just go through these after the live?
Yeah, I think workout questions, guys, just tag us, because it's just, they're not like podcast questions, like, I don't know, things about, the all or nothing mentality, for example, like really specified workout instructions, tag us. That's more coaching.
Yeah, and also it's easier because we can screenshot things, and probably that would be answered in 2 seconds from a grad who's like, oh, here's what you were looking for, if we're not already on our phones. So you'll get a much quicker response doing that.
Yeah, agreed. Hi, Jay. Hi, I'm an ITU nurse and I work at least one night a week. I do find I need to eat something to keep me going on my night shifts. How would you recommend working my nutrition around shift work, like nights, where my meals won't be at standard time? It's exactly the same as I would give anybody who is worried about hunger and regularity of meals and eating, which is what I always say, make sure that you have a meal that you can eat every 3 to 4 hours to keep you fueled, to keep you energetic, to stop you from being absolutely ravenous and reaching out for anything and everything at the end of your shift. It just structure every time that you're awake and you're in a wake cycle, be it at night or in the day, structure your food intake. And again, I know it gets a really bad rap now, but I've yet to have a client who hasn't had great dieting success doing that.
Yeah, I agree. And figure out what works for you. Like, everyone's slightly different. And some people that I've worked with that do shifts are like, oh, I really don't like eating in my shift, or I don't have time to eat in my shift, or I'm a nurse and, sometimes we don't get an option to do this. Okay, fine. We need to work around that. So maybe you can't eat every 3 to 4 hours, but what you can do is make sure that when you do get home, which is when you tend to overeat, that you've got something ready and prepared. But for everyone, that's going to be slightly different. And if you're working, did you say she's working in IT?
ITU, nurse.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. So sometimes you can't actually eat every 3 to 4 hours, but you can plan around like when you tend to go off track, or yeah, what time you do have available, and make sure that you're well prepared.
Yeah, agreed. Abigail Dunn, are there any amendments that I need to make to my nutrition and calories? For hormonal issues, I have both PCOS and I'm perimenopausal. I started HRT in October and I've really been battling and failing with losing weight. So re-PCOS, we've talked about this before. We want you, again, in a deficit, we would start you where we start everybody else. And we really want you to focus on nailing that deficit and nailing your protein, as well as nailing your resistance training specifically. If you can get into a gym, that's going to be fantastic. and steps, and we've talked about this before as well, walking after meal times is, if you can, is going to be a really nice little bumper for you, but it's not 100% necessary if you can't do that. Read the HRT. That will probably be a process of trial and error to get right, and it'll be really helpful when it when you and your doctors finally do get it right, and you will find that that greatly aids you. We may find that we need to drop your calories slightly more than what we anticipate in the beginning, but we won't know that until we get a full 3 to 4 weeks of data from you. So get that 3 to 4 weeks of data and come back to us. Emma?
Nothing to add really, apart from like, great that you're already getting HRT. Know that there might be some side effects that come with going through the menopause, and that we are here to help you and support you. It's not directly anything that we would need to change in your diet because of that, but there might be, I don't know, there might be like you're struggling to sleep, so you're hungrier, so maybe we can help you with more satiating foods, or relook at meal timings for you, or just support you in various ways. So don't feel like, I mean, absolutely reach out if you need some help, but at the moment, no, we kind of wait to see what barriers do come up or what hurdles we do need to help you get over.
Yeah. Live, I thought you were going to read something then.
No, we're good on the live. I just, uncomfortable sitting for this long.
Okay, well, we've done an hour, so let's stop and we will come back on. Guys, the next live will be on Tuesday because Emma is flying on Monday. So we're going to do a Tuesday live anytime from 2 p.m. in the afternoon, but we will confirm it today, latest today, so you can all get prepared if you want to watch live.
Okay, awesome. And obviously tag us with any questions that anyone has, and have fabulous days.